Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I love my iPhone. I love my iPhone.
It's my birthday from the beyond.
iPhone, it's too soon to purchase you.
This guy's great, isn't he?
And you those dudes pretending to camp out, I bet Apple probably hired you. I'd rather not get trampled in line at the mall. Especially for something where the touchscreen keyboard is so small. iPhone, your price is still too high. It'll be lower just before Christmas time.
That's probably right.
iPhone, I'm waiting to see what's wrong with you. 867-530-iPhone. 867-530-iPhone. 867-530-iPhone.
The Don and Mike Show.
I was quite retarded.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Everybody happy now?
Is everybody happy?
Yes, sir!
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Yeah, baby.
They're not dumb. They're stupid. Don and Mike.
Look at the size of his unit.
The show's gonna be funny.
Funny. Hey, Mike, you had 2 weeks off as well, didn't you?
Spent the entire 2 weeks with Peter North.
Peter North. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ooh, so I think he like 10 to 12 times
10 to 12
at one
times.
Point.
He right.
Yeah.
He's very proud of that, too.
10 to 12 times.
You're so naughty.
You know, I'm a disorganized person by nature. And I rarely write down, but so many different things happened on my little excursion over 2 weeks that I had to write things down.
I'm ready.
The problem that I didn't write them down in order, and I think three times I went back to the S train, the auto train.
Why don't we just start at the S train?
All right. Do you want to know the trip down? And the fact that I really seriously believed that the air conditioning unit in my compartment on the auto train had a direct pipeline to everybody's bathroom.
Can I let me stop you for a second?
Yes. I want to say also, I am still an advocate and enthusiast of the auto train. I will be on it again. As a matter of fact, I will be on it. My prediction in the next few years, I will ride it so often that the staff on the train will know who I am.
Wow.
Because you know I like to occasionally throw around a $10 bill.
There's the drunk guy.
Never alcohol. I might have had two glasses of wine.
Me too.
On the auto train. I did not. Yes, they were the size of a
glasses.
Bucket. No. No, both times the first trip on the auto train was right after my 30-year reunion.
That
wasn't really in the mood for drinking, if you know what I mean.
Could I ask you about that before the auto train?
Well, that was the drive. That was the drive that weekend. And, of course, the weekend that we left was the weekend before a big holiday. And you know, it was that summer travel season. So I decided I was going to leave from here and drive from Washington, D.C. through New York City up to Hartford, Connecticut to my hometown. And I said, you know,
he's mentally retarded.
What could possibly go wrong?
He's mentally retarded.
It was, without question, the greatest trip traveling, driving, in recent memory for me as far as speed.
Good.
Getting on the road, you know, the kids and Carla met me here, and we grabbed a little pizza and then hit the road. And I was so happy because we made it to Baltimore in the blink of an eye. It was incredible. Headed up the Jersey Turnpike with no problem at all. And I'm so confident that when I get up to New York City, I got two options. Is when I'm driving. For anybody that drives, you know, regularly up and down the East Coast,
right.
You know what the option. You got an option. You got an option of going up the Garden State Parkway around New York City if you're going to go into New England.
Or did you go through the city?
Or you're going to say, hey, you know what? This is so good that I'm going to hit the GW Bridge.
No.
I'm going to go the George Washington Bridge. And this false confidence. And I am cruising, and it is about 11 o'clock at night. I'm making phenomenal time up there. It's really, really terrific.
You know what? I might make that same move at 11 o'clock at night.
11 o'clock, what could possibly go wrong in the words of Buzz Burbank? Sitting, not moving, no forward movement for 1 hour and 45 minutes at the George Washington Bridge. Carla fell asleep, woke up, and we got in our. It was the first fight of the trip. It was the first altercation because apparently I had turned into somewhat of a madman. And when the traffic finally started moving forward, I was trying to cut off a woman who starred in Fort Apache, the Bronx. And it was not going well for me.
I'm sorry. That the one thing that I forgot, you reminded me of that, was Janet and I had our only fight, and it was a real honest-to-God fight with her brother and his girlfriend and Damon downstairs, and me screaming. I don't give an F if they can hear it. You've had those types before.
This was close with my kids in the back seat, but I didn't. Well, Carla probably tell you.
I'm not trying to bogart your segment.
That's all right.
But what happened was we had been out at the beach and had said when we got home we were going to cook some steaks and have some mixed drinks in the blender. So my bedroom, Janet's bedroom, is up on the third floor. The family members are down on the first floor. I'm in my bedroom with the door shut, sitting on the bed, nude.
Yeah, baby.
Suddenly the door opens, and it's my girlfriend's brother, and he just opens the door. Now, he had to come up three flights of stairs.
Hey, excuse me. I had no idea you'd be naked.
He opened the door, and he said, "Hey, do you know where the daiquiri mix is?" And I said, "Privacy? Hello, I'm naked." And he said, all right. And he shut the door. And that was kind of.
She didn't like that.
That was kind of the key. It was she and I were upstairs, and I was doing most of the screaming. She was giving me that, "Oh, my God, you're going to go nuts" look. And
she didn't know how modest you were.
And she said, "They can hear you down there." I said, "I don't care if they can hear. I hope they're listening. Don't walk into a room with the door shut when there's someone naked."
Were you naked while you were screaming?
Storming up and down the hallways.
I don't know.
It's like maybe it's like the first real fight that we've had. I mean, we're really where it was. I said, "You are driving me nuts." And then I said, "That's it. I'm going to go for a drive."
Right.
And she said, "I can't believe we're forcing you out of your own house." And it was one of those fights where I was like, "Why did you just over-dramatize it, make it overly dramatic? There's too many people. Your brother walked in naked."
Did you take the drive?
Yes.
Did you cool off after that?
Yes.
Put on pants?
I was naked on the drive.
Naked on the drive.
I'm sorry, Mike. I jumped right into your...
No, this was...
Into your argument.
Look, I had been sitting... I had driven the whole way. I was the wheelman the whole way. Mm. And Carla was sleeping for a good chunk of the time. She wakes up when we are on the GW Bridge, and it's just starting to move. And I'm being, to say the least, aggressive to get me out of this quagmire, to get my family
back up to my mom's house,
to get to Nana's house in the woods
Has she been sleeping the whole time the car's not been moving?
She's been sleeping as we've been crawling along. I start to, get moving, and suddenly she wakes up, and I've got somebody that I can bitch to. And I'm also driving a little bit like a maniac, but it's a slow meaning. This is 2 miles an hour as we're jockeying for position, and I don't care. I drove into that fence post at my house. My car's trashed anyway. It's got to get body work done. Yeah, it's an expensive car, but I'm sitting there going, "F it. I don't care. Hey, there you go. Okay. Hey, Fort Apache right here. Here we go." And, where the GW Bridge ends up when you go over it.
Yeah, I know.
You're in the worst part of New York City. You're in the Bronx.
Some say.
And, I remembered it because I dropped a guy off wanted to get off in New York City.
What's that chicken place? Is it Kennedy Fried Chicken?
Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Uh-huh.
That's in Harlem.
I know, but I just remember whenever we would go to New York, it was a dare.
Yep.
Would any of us ever be brave enough to go in there and order a meal? White are we?
They have the red and white canopy just like a KFC,
sure,
but it's Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Well, the exit that I think of is Jerome Avenue.
Okay.
And that is the one that I remember.
That's where I grew up.
Hey, Jerome.
That's Mark Fiedelholtz.
What time is it?
My buddy from college that I dropped off said, "Hey, drop me off in New York City." And we said, "Well, we're coming up from AU and we're going up to New England. We'll drop you off in New York City." So we dropped him off after we got over the George Washington Bridge. We didn't know where it was. And we dropped him and it said Jerome Avenue. And we dropped him off on a street corner.
You left him there?
He survived. He did okay. But
I like rape.
He was.
Why do you favor rape?
He was the kind of guy guy that could handle that. He could hold his own. He did okay. But we get out, and Carl and I get into this this altercation because I said, well, you've been sleeping the whole time. I just want to get us on it. And I'm just chronically bitching. And as a matter of fact, to my whole family, you know, to Carla, to my mom, to everybody, you know, when I'm traveling, when I'm around people, it's the way I deal with it. It's the way I cope. It's probably the reason I've been married a couple of times. I am a chronic bitcher. A lot of people say if I'm not bitching, I'm not breathing. But look, I still try to do nice things
those
for people.
Those people are lying. Those people are lying, Mike.
Thank you, Don.
I don't know who says that.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you saying that because you've certainly never heard me complain about anything.
Not me.
You traveled with me enough to know that I am one. You know, you've flown across the country with me to know that it's a similar. I'm in a similar state of mind when we land in Los Angeles as I am when I was on the GW Bridge. Wow. It was just like, I hate the world. Why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. And this is, I just want to get up, see my mom, who I know is going to be waiting up. And I really was making this incredible time. And I make one stupid move to go through this, the heart of New York City instead of going around New York City. I would have made it on time. But we get up there at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was ridiculous. We got there finally. So it was a very, very long drive. Of course, my 87-year-old mom is sitting there waiting for us, and everything was fine. And I have to get a good night's sleep because I don't want to have bags under my eyes because the following night is my 30th year high school reunion.
I guess the question is, why do you have to be such a hump?
That's true, and it is because it is what it is. And I'm getting to the age now where I'm comfortable in my own skin. This is what I am. I'm a nice person, but I do – you know, I do sometimes, like you, I have to say, wish that there was no one else around. You know, really, just for a moment, you could just go like Bewitched, go ding-a-ding-a-ding, and everybody would simply vanish. But we get to the reunion, and I had lost about, 8 to 10 pounds leading up to the reunion. I'd gotten back into one of my really nice little suits. I want to wear a suit. I'm looking forward to this. And one of the things I forgot was the invitation to the event. Ooh. So in my hometown, it's a small town.
I thought you were gonna see your tux. I know you're going nowhere.
My
go
top.
Nowhere.
Just the
pants. No, I meant T-U-C-K-S. My tux.
No, didn't need this. That'll come in later. I'm telling you, it all happened, including, you know, humidity in Florida. There's some issues there.
Did your ass explode again?
Not my ass. It was more like a chafing situation.
I got you.
I was later in the vacation, I had to be treated somewhat like a baby.
Oh, with a rash, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like a baby. I get up there, and I'm really ready to wear a suit. You know, it's your 30th year reunion, and I remember my sister going to hers, that everybody kind of dresses up, and it's cool. And I don't have the invitation, so there's nothing about dress code. So I decide Saturday during the day I'm going to drive down to the little community center by the river where it is.
In a van down by the river.
Nothing but the finest for the class of 77. Nothing but the finest. Drive down by this little community center by the river, and I'm going to see what time it starts because I figured it's anywhere between, say, 6 and 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
And maybe they'll have a little thing. Well, there's nothing there. And I didn't want to call any of my buddies, you know, because I just didn't. I wanted to see everybody at the reunion. I didn't want to call and go, hey, what time's it start? Like the total mook after 30 years. Because people, you know, you try to separate yourself from being who I am. But I am the guy that doesn't know what time things start. You know, I'm the person that has to be reminded of people's birthdays and that whole kind of thing.
Right.
And nothing's changed. Ended up, I had to call my friend Joey, my best friend from high school, and call him and say, hey, what's the deal? And then I said, okay, so it starts at 6 o'clock. Good stuff. What's the dress code? What's everybody going to be wearing? I'm thinking about just throwing on a little suit, you know, and suit and tie. I said, most people I know are wearing dress pants and maybe like a golf shirt, maybe with a sport coat. I said, okay. So the modify that, I said, I can wear the suit and I can wear the open collar shirt,
right,
and it'll be perfectly acceptable, right?
Right.
Get down to the 30th year reunion. I see like 8 guys that I know right away get out of the cars. You know what they're wearing?
What?
They're wearing Hawaiian shirts and shorts. With sandals.
They're dressed like DJs.
They're dressing like DJs. I immediately, you know, Carly gets out. She's got this gorgeous black dress on. She gets out of the car, and I immediately feel like, you know, here I am, you know, Joe Dink. And I just, these are the first people. You want to get back in your car. You want to drive back to Washington, D.C. You don't want to not go to the reunion. You want to get out of state. That's the way you feel.
Wow.
But look, we've committed. This is what we're going to be wearing.
Yeah.
I walk up to the front, and immediately I realize one thing. I am going to be able to, and this is really.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon. Everybody's dressed like him, right, except you. Everybody's got the loud DJ shirt on.
Everybody's wearing, not everybody. But I realized something early
on. Shannon in the morning.
that wearing the suit is not going to be bad because there are a couple of guys that are wearing sport coats, good. And it's going to be okay. It's
are
not going to be
waiters?
Totally. They're not waiters. No, it's the community center. They didn't have waiters. They had asshat bartenders, like from the Knights of Columbus. They were just, you know, it was just these. It was all right.
Hey, what's her name? Was old Stinky Poon there? What's her name? Sex and the City girl.
She's a year ahead of me.
Oh,
she's
Candace,
class of 76.
Candace Bushnell.
She was class of 76. The thing I notice is that it's going to be okay with the sport coat.
Yeah.
And the next thing I notice is that I am recognizing all the guys that I went to school with. Yeah. I am recognizing them very easily. As a matter of fact, the one thing I noticed is that I really don't want to offend any women here.
Say it.
That the guys that I went to school with really look like, you know, like they did at my 10-year reunion. It's not
that's
that
right.
Deal.
And what about the women, Mike?
How were that, they?
Look, maybe it's just my class, but
say
I,
it. Say
they,
it.
Most of them are completely unrecognizable.
They let themselves go.
Not that. Just that they changed. That I'm
how
not talking
so?
About, no,
for
I'm not talking. This is not a weight. The fat were fat. The thin were thin. There are.
Had they been altered?
No.
Did they all look surprised?
Stinky McStink face.
I'm having a lot of trouble recognizing the women in the class.
Aged.
And I know that when I get in there, the first conversation.
Maybe they all just turned around and presented their asses to you.
Then you know.
You'd recognize them.
Phyllis!
I am.
Julie, baby.
But here's the deal. You go to a function like this, you know what you need? You need a name tag.
Rubber gloves.
Let me check you right now.
Mike, hold on. We got to do this.
All right. When I come back, I'm going to talk about, I will tell you about the end of the reunion where someone actually chased me into the men's room.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of it at that point.
Sure.
Sure.
In fact, I don't remember a lot of the reunion. I'm telling you all the early stuff that I remember. And then I don't.
Gotcha.
And then I don't remember trying to get home with Carla driving, and I getting lost in my hometown.
She have a good time.
She remarkably, once again, she handled herself and was not intimidated by the fact that you know everybody was kind of saying, you know, there's the 20-year younger woman. Mm-hmm. She handled it. I don't know how she handled it. And about halfway through the reunion, I don't remember how.
Were
she
you
handled
ever
it.
Vomitus eroticus?
No, not during the reunion. But
later that night,
I didn't vomit.
Oh, good.
No, but I mean, I don't remember what happened. Somebody put something in my drink.
Must have.
But I'll
think I'm going to throw up.
I will give you the end of the reunion and then all the wonderful things that happened at Disney.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.